You know, there are a lot of people still in bondage and burdened and trialed and burdened down in life. And I want to tell you that we're going to be looking at that this morning, but Jesus is the answer in so many different ways. And He does set us free. And I want to encourage you to come to Jesus, come to Jesus. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're looking at this passage here, and Jesus is speaking to us, to a lot of people. We're living in a society that is struggling, that is burdened down, that is depressed and discouraged, is anxious, fearful, distraught about a number of things. And all of us, I say all of us, a lot of people are in that boat. We fear, we are discouraged, and we're depressed. I was looking in, the statistics say that in America, clinically proven depression, clinical depression is about 7% of the population. Now that's not talking about people that are just feel anxiety on a daily basis. That's not talking about people that just feel the depression, you know, sometimes in life. In fact, it's probably a lot of people that have never went to any sort of a facility or an office, a special helping place. But of the people that have actually got to the point where they have to go and they go to a place, that's 7% of the population. You say 7% out of 100 is hardly anything. But put it into perspective. Now, we are slightly less than 100 people in our building today. But imagine that there was just a few more, and out of 100 people, that would be saying that there would probably about be 7 people that would be to the point to where they would be in the hospital because of their depression. Okay. So when I said that in the beginning, 7%, that sounded very small. 7%, that's not much. But you think about 7 people that would be at the point of checking themselves in. That's a lot of people in this size of a group of people here. And remember, that's excluding all the people that are just going through things on a day-to-day basis that are not telling anybody about it, or they're certainly not going any further with it than just keeping it close. The fact of the matter is that we live in a world that is very discouraged and depressed and anxious and struggling. And in fact, I'm guessing that there are many, many people here today that are struggling with things and discouraged and don't know how to get out and what do I do and where do I go? And we look at Matthew chapter 11 and Jesus gives us the answer in verse 28. Many of you know the verse. What does he say? What does Matthew say? What does God say through Matthew? Chapter 11 and verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Father, Lord, I pray that you would be a help and encouragement to those that need you. Maybe as they sit here this morning, they don't even know that they need you. But Lord, I pray that before they leave, they would recognize and understand that you are the one that they need. Lord, I pray that you would give people rest. Rest. Lord, would you meet our need this morning? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I ask you a question this morning. Are you discouraged? Are you downhearted? You're struggling with things in life. Maybe a little bit of depression has set in. You don't know how to deal with it. And maybe anxiety fills your spirit, your soul. And every day is another day of waking up. And how am I going to deal with this? What you notice, first of all, in this verse, notice the needs. He says here in verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." Labor. The word labor here is something that we, you know the definition of it. It's to grow weary. It's to grow tired, to be exhausted. It's to continually go through toil of a burden or a grief, a struggle that seems to be on our shoulders. It's something that doesn't seem to leave. There might be times of this spell. There'll be times of temporary relief, but sure enough, it comes back. You're growing weary, tired, exhausted. I don't know how to continue on like this. He says, "All ye that labor and are heavy laden," heavy laden. This is to be burdened down with a heavy load that feels so heavy that I can't do it any longer. Very similar word to that of labor. So in combination, a person that is growing weary, tired, exhausted, burdened down with a heavy load, but I'll submit to you that the heavy load and the burden and the labor here is not referring to a physical load. The load, because of what is said here, is a load, a burden of the soul. The soul being the seat of the emotions, the thoughts, mind, and will. It's on the outside. It's not the weight on the outside of your shoulders. It's on the inside. It's a burden on the inside that a lot of people don't necessarily know right away. It's a burden that we can try to cover up with a smile. It's a burden that we can try to cover up with physical strength. It's a burden on the inside. We know that this is a burden on the inside because of what he says in verse 29. Because he said, "Ye shall find rest unto your souls." So this individual, these people, we, the people, are burdened down in our souls. It's the real you. Yesterday I was at the funeral of Levina's mother. And the pastor that was speaking just briefly in the beginning mentioned about the body was the shell. You think about this, that even it's not just of a person that has passed, it's true of us as living people. Our bodies, the physical, a little close to the mic there, the physical is just a shell. This word here, "ye shall find rest unto your souls," this one that is burdened and heavy laden, is not referring to that physical load that we have to bear every day, maybe at work, although it could be. It's mostly referring to that inner struggle that you have inside with whatever, and it comes in all different shapes and sizes as far as what it is and why it's there. Notice that the labor and heavy load spoken of, again, it's soul weariness, it's soul grief, it's soul burden, it's soul load, soul anxiety, soul worry, fear, soul heartache. And again, I continue my question, is this you today? Not going to ask for a raise of hands. We don't like other people to know what we're going through on in our soul. No one needs to know today, but I ask you the question, is this you? Good chance that it is. There's a temptation when we're going through this to think that we're the only one in the world that's going through this. Nobody understands. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. I would like to just simply go to the spiritual fact and say nobody knows but Jesus. But you know what? I think there's more than just nobody knows. People do know. Not necessarily about you, but they know similar to what you're going through. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's a verse that speaks of this. Why don't you turn your Bibles and look at that? I'm going to ask you to look at every single verse this morning. I encourage you to write them down so that they can be an encouragement to you when you leave. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and I want you to look at verse 13. And there's a small phrase there of about six words that I want you to notice. The whole verse is good. But in reference to this, what I'm referring to of nobody knowing, nobody going through it, you're all alone in this. I want you to notice, it's not the first six words and it's not the last, but right there in the end of that first thought. Notice in 1 Corinthians 10:13, he says, "There hath no temptation taken you." And here's the six words that I want you to see. Seven words. "But such as is common to man." There are more people than what you know that are going through soul burden. It's a common thing. And that's why Jesus brings it out here. It's a common thing. So we notice the needs here. And what is his answer? What does Jesus say? What does Jesus say to that individual that's struggling with anxiety and struggling with fear and they don't know how to go? And folks, it's a lot of different things. It's family issues. I don't know what to do with my child. I don't know what to do with my situation with my parents. I don't know what to do with my situation at work. I don't know what to do with my finances. And I just don't know how we're going to get through another day. I don't know how we're going to get through another week. I don't know how to deal with this relationship that I'm going through with this person or in the family or with a friend. I don't know what to do about my health issue. I'm panicked. I'm struggled. And you recognize that soul burden, that soul load. It doesn't seem to go away. And what does Jesus say? It's an invitation that he says, "Come unto me." I'm burdened because I believe there are a lot of people, a lot of you that are struggling with things. Can I tell you that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, said, "Come to me." It's an invitation to all of us. Come unto me. Doesn't matter who you are here this morning and what your burden is. We understand that it's a real burden. Folks, don't ever look at anybody else's burden as something small. And never think that your burden is any harder than somebody else's. You say, "Well, they don't know what I'm going through." And you don't know what they're going through. But we're all individuals with souls that hurt. And Jesus gives us an invitation here and he says, "Come unto me." But that's not his whole invitation there. He says, "Come unto me and learn of me." So many people go to their minds and their thoughts to get them out of their struggles. If we were to take a quick look at Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, we would see that as a person thinketh in his heart, so is he. So as a person thinks, so is their heart. We look in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, and we know what does God say about our hearts? Deceitful, above all things, desperately wicked. And who can know it but God? The answer is not in our thoughts. You know, God made our minds pretty powerful, hasn't He? We're capable of thinking about a lot of things. Thinking. Has your mind ever got you in trouble? A lot of times the mind works with the emotions, and we got to be careful about both. Our emotions will lead us astray. You can get caught up in an emotional situation and it triggers your mind to start thinking, and before long you figure yourself in a situation that's not even true. You ever done that? You've made up an entire scenario that's not true. And you're trying to cope with something that you don't have to cope with. Folks, we need to be careful with our emotions and our minds. But here, God doesn't say, oh, those of you who are burdened, that labor, they're heavy laden, take some time off and think. He doesn't say that. Some people go through their burdens and their heavy load and they decide to get involved with entertainments, things that will amuse their minds so that they don't have to think about things. And so people will try to flood out all of these emotions and thoughts, difficulties and hurts, and they will amuse themselves with as many entertainments as they possibly can. And although amusements and entertainments are not necessarily wrong, it's not what God says. As a matter of fact, they take us away from reality. And folks, taking us away from reality is exactly what we don't need. Things that are not true. In fact, probably the reason why we are where we are at is because we are dwelling upon things that are not true. We escape into a fantasy world that flies us away. But Jesus doesn't say, entertain yourself, amuse yourself. Some people will get as busy as they can with other distractions to keep their mind off of things. There are some bad distractions in life and there are some good distractions. Sometimes it is to get busy and get doing some other things. Because we do know that idleness of the mind quickly produces sin and wickedness. And the devil likes to use that in our lives. But that's not what Jesus says here. He doesn't say get as busy as you can to distract your mind. Some people use their work as an escape, as a distraction. I'm going to go to work and I'm just going to drown out my sorrows and I'm going to work hard. Well, you know what? You might be able to drown out your sorrows, but that's not what Jesus says here. There are some men and ladies that like to consider them as workaholics, but all they're doing is trying to cover up their anxiety and their depression, their discouragement. And then, of course, some people go to addictions, alcohol, cigarettes, and it gets worse and worse, drugs, things that they can just get them out of reality. And you know, temporarily, those things work. But when all these things end, guess what? They wake up the next day and they're still there. Jesus doesn't say, go and get a buzz. No, he says, come unto me. Some people spend money. Life is tough. So they're going to get their enjoyment out of what they can purchase. And there's a little bit of enjoyment of escaping reality again. And by the way, all of these things are an escape of what's perceived to be reality. I would submit it's still not reality. Perceived reality. An escape of that, and they go and to the store, and there's some sort of a comfort to take their money and to buy things that, oh, this is going to help me. I enjoy this, and I'm going to get involved in this. And we turn to the store, and we turn to the material possession to meet the need. We buy. But Jesus doesn't say go to the store and buy. He says, come unto me. Some people turn to other habits that aren't as drastic as alcohol and drugs, but they turn to eating. And if I could say, they eat their sorrows away. You've heard of that comfort food, and we could laugh at that. And there is certainly those comfort foods that are out there. But friend, I want to tell you, Jesus doesn't say, go to that place and indulge yourself because you deserve a rest. No, that's what the world says. He doesn't say, eat. No, he says, come unto me. Keep your fingers here and turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55 and the first two verses. Here we have an individual or some individuals that have needs. He says, ho, everyone that thirsteth. And the word thirsteth, recognizing that there's somebody that has a need. Ho, everyone that thirsteth. Come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Notice the question he says in verse 2, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And your labor for that which satisfieth not. Now listen up, and this is what he says in the next words. He says, hearken up, listen up. Hearken diligently unto me. To eat ye that which is good. and let your soul delight itself in fatness. There's a needy individual here that's tricked into thinking that buying things, bread, and filling themselves up with the false water and the false bread of life, the entertainments, the internal wisdom that we have, the thoughts, the food, the addictions, those are going to be the things. Here we see that he said, listen, don't waste your time walking about the streets trying to find that which is within the next door. I'm going to try this for a little while, and I'm going to try that, and I'll pay big dollars to give to this and to give to that and to go through life seeking and trying to find that which will satisfy. And he says, no. You see, my friend, there's a person over here that's standing. And he says, come. Come to me. And it will cost you nothing. Why do you waste your energies and so much money? Time and work. You can come to me. What does it mean to come? Back in Matthew. He says, come unto me. When you really pick apart the word, you know, I'm going to be honest with you, the Greek word is very similar to what our English word is come. It's come. Go from where you're at, leave where you're at, stop doing what you're doing, and come over here. It means to realize that we don't have the answers, that other things in life are not the answer. It's to leave what we're doing. It's to stop going through the streets, opening the doors, pulling out the money, trying this. It's to stop all of that. It's to stop. And to turn. And to go to the one that has the answer. To come. To realize that we don't have the answers, that we're not capable of solving the problems, figuring things out, but instead we need to go to and follow the one that does have the means. Come implies an abandoning of everything else. Leaving all else, the thinking, the distractions, the work, the food, the drugs, the worrying, etc., 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 that we try to fill our busy souls with. And we must go to him. And he said that he would give. He would give. Notice that he also says, besides, come unto me. He also says, and learn of me. So he invites us to come to him. We're about busy in the streets trying to figure it out, and we're burdened down, and we're heavy laden. And we stop. And he says, come to me and learn of me. He says, come over here because I have something to teach you that will help you. Learn of me. When he says, learn of me, he's not just saying, let me teach you something. No, he says, learn of me. You know what he wants to teach them? He's not going to... Honestly, folks, Jesus is not going to sit us down and have a lesson on depression. He's not going to sit us down and talk about anxiety. He's not going to sit us down and tell us how we're going to get through financially the next month. He's not going to sit us down and tell us about how we're going to heal up. He's not going to do any of that. No, he says, I want you to come and learn who I am. There's his answer. You say, come on, preacher. That's not the answer. I need answers to my questions. Everybody look this way. Jesus is your answer. Keep your fingers here and go to 2 Peter. The men that came to men's prayer breakfast yesterday would recognize this. By the way, men, you miss out on a blessed time when we get together and we look at God's Word. It's a time when there's more thoughts and more people that are dealing with things and they can say a few things. It's just encouraging. We looked at this passage yesterday. Good verse. 2 Peter chapter 1, I want you to look at verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. This verse talks about what we're dealing with right here. Jesus says, come unto me and learn of me. Come unto me and learn about me. Come unto me and I want to teach you something. It's about me. Notice what Peter says, like Paul, he says grace and peace, you know, many times, and we read over that. But so important here that we don't pass over it this time. What does he say? For 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. You know, I like that word. It's not just added. When we're talking about getting a blessing, I like multiplication a whole lot more than addition. It's a blessing. Grace and peace. There we are. We're talking about this peace that we don't have, that we want, that we're looking for, that we're searching all over for. And Jesus says, come unto me, all ye labor that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not the same Greek words, but I want to tell you something, the same idea. Peace and rest. You say, I'm looking for rest. You remember those words? Labor and are heavy laden. We're talking about somebody that needs rest. Somebody that needs peace. 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 Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? What does he say? There are several words here, but we could insert one word. Me. Jesus. He says, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. How is grace and peace going to be multiplied in your life? Wouldn't you love to see all you that are laboring and are heavy laden? Wouldn't you love to see peace multiplied in your life? That sounds so good. Yes, I don't want it added. I want it multiplied. Jesus is coming to me and learn of me. And it comes through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ. Notice in verse 3, according, and this tells you how much the multiplication could be, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know what? You can have a different situation, the person sitting next to you, about your anxiety and your struggles and your depression, but I tell you what, it's all things that pertain unto life and godliness. That means you're covered. All things. No matter what you're going through, God has the answer, and the answer is the knowledge of God. It's learning who God is. Through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Folks, it's a different answer than what you thought. The answer is of the knowledge of who God is and who Jesus Christ is. It's to learn who God is. It's to learn His name. It's to learn of His character. It's to learn of His attributes. It's to learn His meekness. It's to learn of His lowliness. It's to learn of His power. It's to learn of His control. It's to learn of His love. It's to learn of His long-suffering. It's to learn of His care for us. It's to learn of His promise to provide every ounce of need for every moment of our life. I want to tell you something. When we really, really see that, and then we'll believe it and trust it, our trials disappear and go away. I'm not telling you that your finances are going to increase, but I'll tell you what, you'll trust in a good God because you know He's bigger than your trial. The reason why we're so anxious, the reason why we're depressed, is because we don't know God. We don't believe Him. Folks, I wish so bad you could come to our Sunday school class. We're learning the character of God. And I know some of you might not be able to make it, but folks, we're learning God's character, which is the answer to your problems. That's why there's so much, I say more than anything I've ever preached or taught in my life in Sunday school, has been the most practical and applicable that I've ever done. Because why? Because the character of God hits us where we are at and where we need Him. Oh, that you need to be there. You need to learn of God's character. And it's because, and it's when we're anxious and when we're depressed and when we're discouraged and when we're going through trials and troubles. And the reason, folks, mark it down. The reason why we go through it is because we really don't know God and we don't believe Him enough. And if it'll make you feel better, I'm in that boat also. We need to go to Christ. We need to learn of Him. We need to start studying Him. We need to start fellowshipping with Him and communicating with Him and talking with Him and let Him start to rub off on us and start to learn that He has the needs. The reason why your financial situation is too big for you to handle is because you don't understand the God that, as some jokingly say, owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You get it? But see, when we're worried about it, is because we don't believe that God. And I'll tell you what, we don't believe in Jehovah Jireh, that God, the God that provides, do we? And we don't believe in El Shaddai, that's sufficient to meet the needs of His people. Well, we say that we do. I say that I do. But if I really did, then I'd be able to get my trial and say, you know, I don't know what God's doing here. God is in control. He's going to take care of all my needs. He's going to provide everything that I need. He's going to lead me. He's going to guide me because He's strong. He's powerful. He's in control. He's not going to get upset at me and be proud. He's meek and lowly. He's sufficient. He's promised. He's Jehovah. He's El. He's Adonai. The Bible gives us a verse in Proverbs that says, "They that know thy name will put their trust in Him. For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Did you notice that he said, will put their trust in Him? They that know thy name will put their trust in Him. So what's the conclusion when we're not trusting? We really don't know who He is. What's the result? What does Jesus give as the result? He says, come unto me, learn of me. What's the result of people that are needy, people that are struggling, people that don't have the answers, that are trying everything out, that all of a sudden decide, I'm going to go to Christ, and we come to Him, and we learn of Him, and we find out His character, we find out who He is. No, we're really not dealing with our finances, we're really not dealing with our health, we're really not dealing with this other thing. We're just learning of Him. What is the result of all that when we just get to study His character? What's the result? He says, I'll give you rest. He says, ye shall find rest unto your souls. He'll give your mind, He'll give your emotions, He'll give you some rest. He'll give you peace. Rest, I looked up that word and was studying that word. Rest is a quiet soul. It's a soul that's at peace. What's peace? Well, the men at the prayer breakfast, we discussed what peace was. What is peace? A lot of people deal with peace and they look at peace as something that is just the answer to their problems. Peace comes when the doctor says, nope, the bones weren't broken. Oh, now I have peace. Peace for a lot of us rests upon the circumstances. I have peace now because that coworker that I had such a struggle with has been removed. They got fired. They moved away. Now there's gone. Now I have peace. For some, peace comes when their struggle and the trial has been removed. Now it's not a possibility. Now I'm at rest. Now I have peace, folks. That is not peace. Peace is when we're trusting in the Lord in the midst of the trial, when we don't know what the answer is, when we don't know how to go through it, but we go to God. And when we see a bigger God that's bigger than our trials, we can have peace. So the reason why we're anxious and why we're depressed and why we're discouraged is because we're looking at our trials bigger than our God. Bigger than our God. The closer you are to the trial, the bigger it looks. The further away you are from your trial, the smaller it looks. Isn't that amazing? Have you ever been to a really tall building? When you're a long ways away from it, it doesn't look so big. But the closer you get to it, the bigger it gets. The same thing is true with our trials, and the same thing is true with our God. The further away we are from God, the bigger our trials are. But when you leave your work and your effort and you come to a big God, all of a sudden, He's much bigger than your trial. He says, come unto me. Come unto me. Learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Will you come to Him this morning? Pride will keep you in your seat. If you have a noisy spirit, noisy soul this morning, pride will keep you there and say, no, I don't want anybody to know. But I want to tell you something. If you're thirsty and you're desperate, and if you have a noisy soul and a spirit this morning, then maybe what you need to do is come to the cross, come to Jesus Christ, and let Him take care of it. I urge you. Nearer to the heart of God. 480. Across from the song that we sang. Jesus, I am resting. Are you resting? The answer was on the other page. Near to the heart of God. 480. I'm just going to ask, you know what? I told you to turn there. You can close your hymnal. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Jane to play as soon as she is ready to play. Again, heads bowed and eyes closed. If you recognize some noise in your soul, if you recognize some things going on in your life, and you need Jesus, I encourage you to come forward. Come forward, get it taken care of. You know what? You don't have the answer, but you come and say, Jesus, I am resting in you. I'm coming to you. I am coming to your name. I'm going to learn your name. I'm going to learn your character. I'm going to learn your person. I am going to give myself to you. Why? Because I want rest. I want peace multiplied in my life. I trust that you'll come this morning. Come. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come unto me. Come. I wonder if there's more. You're sitting there, and while you stand there, you know that there's no peace. You're struggling still. And you feel like you've got to figure it out. You feel like you've got to go through it all. You've got the answers. You've got to continue to try. Folks, I want to tell you, it's an emptiness behind each door. But there's a fullness, there's a wideness in God's mercy and His love. Would you come to Him today? Thank you.